change. Great. Thanks, Courtney. So if you didn't already know, we're recording today's presentation so that you have it for reference if you need it, or there's anybody on your team who wasn't able to attend today who would like to reference the materials. So today we are hoping to sort of focus a bit on our medical certification process as it relates to disability absence management. But before we get into that, we're going to have that little placeholder here just for a minute to make sure that we run through a couple other quick items just so everybody is aware. And so as usual today, we have all of our team from CEO Benefits, Patty Dowdy, Courtney Bishop, Ken Mizuno, and then from Disability Management, Jess Alanez and myself. Wendy Kialoa on my team, we were just talking about this before we got on, was selected as a juror on a trial that will last through at least the end of this month. So I share that to let you know that Jess is doing all he can to keep afloat solo. So if you need something, he's certainly your go-to person as we get through the remainder of this month. But please be kind and know that it may take just a little bit of extra time. Obviously, I can support as well, but just to let you know that that's a bit of what's happening with our team. Beyond that, just wanted to share a couple of other quick updates on things that some of which just are kind of FYI and some of which we will be talking about in greater detail as we move forward. But one, just wanted to let everyone know that Jess and Wendy have continued to audit how things are working within the leaves that are being set up under the new FMLA methodology change, which, as you will recall, became fully effective on January 1 of this year. And I'm very happy to report that as a general rule, it has been a really seamless transition. We have had very little issue within the system regarding calculations or any kind of hiccups along the way. So thank you all first of all, for your efforts in making that such a seamless transition. And wanted to just say, we do encourage you just, again, as we're in the first few months here, continue to check, continue to monitor, double check it, just to be on the safe side. Obviously, if you come up with anything that is unusual or out of the ordinary, please let us know if you see that right away. Otherwise, we're really hopeful that as we are now several months into this without any really significant issues, I think hopefully it's fairly smooth sailing from here. And the good news is, of course, as we get later into this year and into 2023, we will not have that whole recertification process at the end of the year. So helping us to be sure that it's working without any hiccups and that continues to be in sort of smooth sailing is most appreciated and helpful to the group. So, and again, thanks to everyone for making that a really smooth transition. It was a very big change for the county and really went amazingly well, all in all. The other thing we wanted to share, which isn't really the news that anyone wants to hear, but we do want to just share it, is we are seeing some increases in COVID within our employee population. So I know no one actually wants to hear those words, but it's what we're seeing right now. So we just want to remind you again that all of the Cal OSHA emergency temporary standards, those are all still in place. They all still exist. If you have folks who have been in the workplace who come up positive, you have to still do, you have to send the notifications, you have to do your investigation, you need to complete the SB 1159 COVID notification form and send that over to our risk management mailbox. And again, people still have the entitlements. So if they haven't used the most current buckets of SPSL, then we need to look at those, you know, for those employees. And of course, anyone who has not used their natural disaster attestation yet still has that available to them also. So hopefully this is just a tiny little uptick and this is it, we're at the peak and we go down from here. But we just wanted you to know we are seeing it and all those things remain in place. And as always, if you have questions, your very first place you want to go is to your COVID prevention plan. Every agency has one. It outlines all of this information, you know, regarding reporting and what you're supposed to do with the work site and all those things. If after you've looked at your COVID prevention plan, you still have questions, then feel free to reach out to us and we're happy to talk you through any of those pieces. And then our final, before we get into the real purpose of today's meeting, is to talk just a little bit about our position management program, or as we have, like all things in leave and absence management, boiled down to just an acronym. We call it the PMP. As a reminder, the position management program, or the PMP, is a tool that's available to you, where you have an opportunity to take an employee who is on a very long-term leave of absence, where it appears highly unlikely they are going to return back to work for any number of reasons, and that while they might be still going through getting information, particularly for those who might be going through disability retirement or maybe have attempted to go through disability retirement but did not prevail in that case but still are not able to return, it allows you to move them from their budgeted classification into an unbudgeted classification with a very special reminder that when or if that employee were to have a change in their status and they were able to return, the agency would have to agree that they would be immediately returned to the current open position within their classification, or they would get the very next position that would become available within the agency within that classification. So, we are continuing to review these cases, working with different groups. Some groups are a little bit further out ahead on this issue than others, but did want to let you know that we're developing a template that we're actually starting to roll out with the agencies that are a little bit further ahead here. But that form will require that you will need to be able to take that to your delegated authority within your agency and have them acknowledge that, yes, the employee is, it is the agency's desire to move them from budgeted to unbudgeted, that the agency does understand and agrees with the terms of the program, which is that when and if the employee is eligible to return if their medical condition were to change, and could be accommodated within restrictions or perhaps no restrictions at all, that again, that employee would be immediately returned to any open classification or would be eligible for the next available classification. So we're going to be circulating that a bit more widely and definitely starting to, you know, have more and more people are inquiring as to, is this the right person? Can we use this in this way? We're happy to talk those through with you and answer those questions and have that information kind of available, but did want you to understand that there will be sort of this affirmative need to have your own internal workflow of who within the department is authorized to then sign off on this, acknowledging that the person is being moved, and that there is an affirmative need to be prepared to return them to the classification were their condition to improve. So on that topic, anyone else on our DAM team, anything that I didn't cover on any of those pieces that people wanna weigh in on? No?
No, we're good.
All right, great. Fantastic. Well, so with that being said, I'm going to share one other little tiny piece of information, which isn't all that tiny, actually. Sorry, and I don't know, did Anthony have a question? I saw his hand was up and his thumb was up.
No, I'm okay. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you. We want to make you aware of something that's happening, and we're sort of in the midst of it ourselves, and what it's going to look like, we're not exactly sure. But as you all know, our current leave of absence system is Presagia. I think we've mentioned previously, Presagia was purchased by a company called AbsenSoft several months ago. They are already an existing leave of absence company. They have their own leave of absence platform. Long story short on it is that in time, AbsenSoft, of course, is going to not continue to support the Presagia platform. They will eventually convert Presagia clients into the AbsenSoft platform, and we will have to make that conversion as well. So we're exploring a lot of different things with them. I will say that, and a huge thank you to Jess and to Wendy, they've put tremendous amount of time and effort into really evaluating what it is we currently have, what works well in what we have, maybe what doesn't work as well as we wish it would, and then what are the comparatives within AbsenSoft. It's a complicated transitional. Anytime you make a systems conversion, it's complicated. Many of you may know or be aware that we didn't do it all that long ago within our work comp program. Our former administrator, York, was purchased by Sedgwick, and the York staff had to be integrated into the Sedgwick platform. These are really big data conversions. They're very complicated, and they usually have some bumps along the way. So we're doing the best that we can to understand exactly what it's going to look like. How's it going to play out? There's no timelines currently as to even when it will be, although I would anticipate, they're going to support the Presagia software at least through the remainder of this year, but certainly by early into 2023, one way or another, we're going to be in a place where we're going to have to look to make a conversion. If we don't like what we have with AbsenSoft, then we may have to explore other opportunities. So that being said, why does it matter to all of you, of course, is that it's going to mean that with a new system, we're going to have to be able to roll that out and train people up and get people into that new system as well. But the thing that we're looking at right now in this moment is that we want to make sure the data that we have, to the extent that we can make it as accurate and correct and complete right now as we possibly can, that's an advantage to all of us down the road when we make a systems conversion, because of course, the more complete and accurate the data is, the better the migration goes from one platform to the other platform. When we have things that are incomplete or inaccurate in the current system, we're converting over, data that isn't really good data, but it still has to go through that migration process. So we're hoping that this gives everybody some opportunity over this next few months, as we know this is going to be on the horizon, to really start to strengthen and be sure that the information we have in Presagia is up to date, current, and correct. So to that point, we have noted of late that there's been some things regarding medical certification within the system that we think we have the opportunity to maybe make a little bit more efficient and a bit more accurate, and hopefully serve you all better in your workflow, and also make sure employees are getting what they need. So to that point, I'm going to turn it over to Jess. He's going to go through some just general tips, tricks, guidelines, that kind of thing. And then we're going to play a leave of absence medical certification game, which is, I'm sure, probably going to be turned into a national television program before it's the next Jeopardy. So we'll try that on the back end. So hopefully, if everyone can kind of follow through on this part, then we'll try to do a couple real world examples on the backside to hopefully make it a little bit clearer. So Jess, I give it to you.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and thank you. So the purpose of this presentation is to review the certification and the certification process. It'll be our opportunity to really kind of boil down exactly what is on the forms and potentially what could be on a doctor's note, so we could progress the leaves that we have once an employee submits a doctor's note. And more importantly is, if anything is lacking or unclear, what are our steps to either get some clarity on the note, or just maybe even just how to review what seems to be lacking. I would suggest that after we kind of go through this presentation, if you do have questions on medical certifications that you're receiving now or you've received, it's a great opportunity to kind of have a conversation with your colleagues to say, hey, what do you think about this one? Sometimes when I'm reviewing medical certs, I don't always have the kind of eye pinpoint to really read doctor's notes. And sometimes Wendy can. So, you know, we do it all the time. It's like, hey, what does this word say? Or what does it mean? You know, can you read it? And if it's unclear for both of us, it's an opportunity for clarity. So again, it's kind of like a way to open that door for the conversations that we could have with our colleagues, especially if something is unclear. Okay. Go ahead with the slide. Okay, the certification, to kind of give you the definition, it's a document or a form. So in our circumstances, we have our forms that we provide our employees, as it's the best convenience to have that employee grab that form and take it to their healthcare provider. In some instances, such as Kaiser, they will not always submit or complete a required form. They have their own process. So it is a document or a form that is completed by the healthcare provider for the medical part. And what does that certification have? Well, we have to be able to read the information if it's related to a leave, FMLA leave request. And it includes likely periods of absence, a beginning and end date. Because of the fact that we're dealing with a person's recovery or diagnosis or whatever process that they're going to make themselves better, these dates could be estimates and it's perfectly fine. If it's for a family member, that form or document has to have that information that the employee will be caring for that family or family member and what family member designation it is. As we know, there has been changes in the CFRA. So what's necessarily covered by FMLA is not always covered by CFRA. So CFRA is expanded a bit. So they have expanded their family members' definitions. So if it's approvable by CFRA, it's not always approvable by FMLA. And sometimes we'll need to understand if that medical certification is for a specific family member. Next slide, please. Okay. At a glance, what does this mean? Well, when we start the process, our responsibility is to give the employee the information that's going to be required of them. Mainly, they're going to request. So we're going to give them, hey, we need this medical certification form to be completed. The initial packet that we send out of Presagia provides all of that information for them. So it's a good way to get something started. So if you have an employee that's simply asking, hey, I think I might need a leave or I have a surgery coming up. Let's open up that case, give them the initial packet because that satisfies step one totally. Step two, as time goes, we've already said that we need this medical certification. So it's on the employee to provide that medical certification within 15 calendar days, absent unusual circumstances. And what does that mean? It's anything that's going to be that a hurdle in the way of the employee. Sometimes doctor's offices are closed in certain dates, so we may have to review an extension. So it's not a hard date and we'll deny. It's a follow-up date so we can understand if they've completed it, if there's any hurdles, or what steps we need to satisfy obtaining the medical certification. Step three, the employer must notify the employee in writing if the leave will or will not be FMLA protected, our determination letter. So step three, we've received the medical certification from the employee and we made a decision and letting them know it is or is not going to be covered under FMLA, CFRA, or whatever entitlements they have. Okay. Next slide, please. Medical certification notice and timing. So it is our responsibility to let the employee know that a medical certification is required. So if the employee is submitting the request form, we in turn give them the initial documentation. And that documentation says, we acknowledge that you requested a leave. Here is the medical certification that we need. We need it by this date. Again, it satisfies that first step. If an employee fails to provide the certification within 15 days, we've touched on this, the request for certification may be because maybe they, again, their next office visit is day 17, whatever it may be. But it is our responsibility, again, to follow up with that employee and let them know, in writing especially, what is it that we are requesting. So if the employee did not submit the medical certification within 15 days, we go into kind of like the flow is that we would send the employee a letter saying that we don't have a medical certification, so we can't make a determination now. Please let us know. We give the extension. And for those of you that kind of work with those extensions, we know that we at least give them two attempts, 15, 7, and 7. 15 days, 7-day follow-up, and then a one last 7-day follow-up so they can turn in that medical certification. In some circumstances, that it could be that the employee themselves is going through something very particular that they just cannot submit something timely. For example, maybe the employee was incapacitated for a while and at the hospital, and still at the hospital, so they can't make that that deadline because they don't have a way to submit those medical certifications. That is a good example of someone with extenuating circumstances that is unable to provide that medical cert. But it is important, once they do provide the medical cert, that we review it per that certification, so based on its own merits, and we are not denying the part that they were late on. We just look at the medical cert for what it is, and then we'll kind of determine what the leave status will be. But it is important that we are not denying that that one period because they're late. We just look at it in total. A complete and sufficient certification need only to include the following. So these are the criteria that a medical certification needs. The form that we provide the employees to fill out by their physician has this criteria, which makes it more convenient. Again, if we receive a doctor's note that's lacking, then that's a little bit of a different story. The easiest way is to have the employee, have the physician complete this because it contains everything that we need. But we have to be mindful that if a doctor has his own form or completes a doctor's note on their own letterhead, then we review that medical certification within this criteria to see if it satisfies the definition of medical certification. So what does it need? The contact information for the healthcare provider, including name, address, telephone number. Sometimes the it'll be stamped and it'll have that information. Okay, if you could read it and it's on the medical cert, we're good to go. In some cases, the medical cert will just have maybe a telephone number, fax number, something of this. You have to be reasonable into what the information is that is being captured. Sometimes they'll just sign it and go, if you need some type of verification, then we'll kind of touch on that a little bit later. But in general, contact information. When the serious health condition began, so the first day absent, the first day that this person is going to be out for this serious health condition, how long the serious health condition will be, the estimated time that the employee will be able to return to work. If the employee is the patient, whether the employee is unable to work, and likely duration of the inability. This, in some cases, could be a little bit ambiguous. I saw this patient on this day, they are unable to work. The person is a patient because the doctor is kind of referring to the employee as the patient. So you'll have to kind of read the details as we're reviewing the medical cert. And then again, if it is for a family member, the family member title and the patient, the estimated, the same thing. Whether the employee's need for a leave is continuous or intermittent. So this is important because the continuous will have that one big period. We kind of know what it is that's beginning to end. The intermittent part is the one where we'll have to really understand what the frequency and duration is for those intermittent absences. And in some cases, what for? Is it for medical appointments or is it for maybe a flare-up or some type of response that they'll have that they'll need to take a break? So those are the important in kind of data points that we need. So again, the form is the best way to get this because it clearly states what is the intermittent part, frequency, duration. But in some cases, when we receive doctor's notes, they will be sufficient as well. Just kind of we'll have to really look through and comb through the information to confirm. Next slide, please. All right. So now it's incomplete or insufficient medical certification. Those are going to be the criteria that we're going to review, because if it's incomplete, we may have to follow up a certain way. If it's insufficient, we do have other options to kind of follow up to make sure the information is correct. So whenever an employer finds any medical certification incomplete or insufficient, the employer must give the employee a written notice. Again, that written notice part. So in Prasagya, they kind of make it easy. If we receive a medical certification and it is either incomplete or insufficient, we will launch that medical certification and it'll have the three radio buttons and it'll say incomplete, insufficient. You can pick those. And then the following wizard will be a text box. What is it that makes this certification incomplete or insufficient? So in those circumstances, a certification is considered incomplete if one or more applicable entries have not been completed. So we're talking about the date range, the doctor signature, the doctor information, those criteria that we just reviewed. If it does not have that or it is missing that, it could be considered as incomplete. If it's insufficient, the information provided is vague, ambiguous, or non-responsive. So for example, if the first day absent was today, but the doctor put lifetime for the duration or until further notice until the duration, that's insufficient. We're not clear on exactly how long potentially. And again, it's an estimate. So it doesn't have to be a block date that indeed this employee is going to return on this day. It's just based on the employee's medical records and recovery, how long could we anticipate this employee to be off so they could return to work? I did see a question. Is a signature not required? Also, if it's extending the leave, is the condition begin date still required? A signature is required, and that is part of the form. So that will be if the signature was missing, that would be an example where the certification is incomplete. And then we can kind of follow up, so to kind of go back on that one, if that's the case, we would then give that information to the employee. This certification is complete because it is missing the signature of your physician. Please remedy. And then that's our written notice. So they can just, in some cases, it could be a signature. In some cases, the employee can kind of call the physician and they'll send over a new one. So it would be incomplete. In some cases, again, it doesn't have to be a wet signature. Sometimes because of like the Kaiser, they'll do electronic signatures. So it'll be verified, electronically signed by. So that is sufficient as well. Also, if it is extending the leave, is the condition begin date still required? Yes and no. So because of the fact that we're extending, we have the beginning date. So if it's an extension date, it does not have to completely align with the last estimated return to work date. Now we're going to extend. It could mean that the person completes it, especially in our cases that are associated with work comp. It'll say date of injury, and then it'll say the extension for the next 4 weeks. Well, the date of injury, it's continuous. So we are taking the information from our last certification and the doctor saying that it's being extended. So the extension date is our new through date. So it's a kind of like a living document that's kind of going through the life cycle of this person's leave. Okay, good question though, thank you.
Jess, I'd like to piggyback that question and answer.
Absolutely.
I have always advocated if you have a medical certification or an accepted doctor's note, and now you're faced with another medical note that extends a leave of absence, that you be allowed to accept the note, provided that the doctor that completed the first certification or note that we accepted is the same doctor who signed off on the extension. So if it's the same doctor who put them on leave and who's extending, I think it's fair to say that this doctor is familiar with this employee and patient, and extending the leave with the information given, as long as you have a date, that would be an acceptable decision that you could make to accept that document.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point, Ken. It depends on the person's treatment plan, especially to your point, Ken. A lot of times a work comp will have a primary physician and then some type of specialty doctor that they're seeing as well. So it will be the fact that we'll have to, and just for all you folks to know, this is not easy. You have to like read every medical certification per when you receive it. So everything is going to be unique to that person's leave. Although we have forms that are laid out, question 1, 2, all the way through 20, it is not filled out the same way by the same doctor every time. So we have to be mindful of all the information we receive and follow up if necessary. And again, if we are uncertain, then you have your colleagues first, you have your team first, and you definitely have DMD. Like, hey, I'm unsure. I'd rather our kind of like group follows up with either a colleague or a DMD before making a decision, because it could have some impacts. So if you think it's vital that we kind of follow through with a follow up or a review with your team or us, please let us know. Because, you know, to Ken's point, we may know other things that you may not. Wendy and I have, you know, our access to work comp. So it's a quick email. Hey, can you just double check this and we can confirm, and then we'll let you know if it is complete based on the information we also have. So good point, Kane.
And one last point. One last point. On the workers' comp notes and medical certifications that are provided, we have historically have provided some leniency on those documents because they are already vetted by an adjuster. So we pretty much accept those documents as is, and we don't ask for additional certifications on our forms for further certification. So.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah. Follow-up question, is written notice suffice if it's an email? It does, but it's best if it's documented in Presagio. The only reason why I say that is kind of like what Catherine said earlier, it's the integrity of the data. So if anyone goes into that case and we do not see a follow-up in our eyes, when we first look at it, you did not send it. So we want to make sure you're getting the credit that you're actually working on it. So if it's an email, put it in Presagio as a note, as a follow-up, just so we have the reasoning. Because if we see the case and we don't see any follow-ups, then that'll be our next step. So when did you follow up, or did we follow up with the employee and you have the information? Best practice, just put it in Presagio as a note, make it a note to yourself. There's a couple of options of how to do it. And it's only for, you know, you to kind of have the correct timeline of that. And then for us, as we make any type of a review or analysis on that case, we're better easily to discern what goes where and what was the flow of your case. All right, what about our employee that seeks treatment at clinics and see different providers? Same, yeah, it's very much similar to what we were talking about, Sarah, is that especially in the clinics, they may not see the same doctor every time, but as long as it's an authorized signator, so it's a professional physician, nurse practitioner, there's a list of them, then that is a certification. And then if you do have any questions on who signed it, or you're not sure, or let's say that they didn't have a license number or something that is missing, it now coincides with the next slide. So go ahead and hit that slide. Authentication and clarification. So that means that if we're not able to say for certain that this was a healthcare provider that completed the form, we have the ability to follow up with the physician or the physician's office to confirm. We can give them a call. I would say that if there is an authentication, clarification, or any type of follow-up that needs to be with the medical office, that we, our leave coordinators, our HR representatives, will do the following up. Do not have the manager follow up. Do not have the the supervisor follow up with any type of medical confirmation. That is solely on ours, because we want to separate, especially like if they mistakenly given some type of diagnosis or whatever to the managers or supervisor, that we could be you know, going against the regulation, and we they may receive the diagnosis. So if the supervisor manager has, hey, I'm unsure if this is even authentic, it will be on us to follow up. The clarification, again, is that means the contacting the healthcare provider to understand the handwriting. So that's when everything gets a little fuzzy, maybe ones look like sevens or whatever the case may be. So if we do need some clarification, we also have the ability to follow up. If we follow up by phone call, it is important, again, to make that note. If you call the doctor's office and they confirm, oh, yes, that's not 711, that's actually 111, then we want to make sure that we're documenting that because, again, if we go into that case and we don't see a note that you approved 111 versus 711, there could be a disconnect in communication. So put in that doctor's note that, hey, spoke to whomever you spoke to on this day, called this number, confirmed first day absent was 711, not 111. And then we are good to go. So you just did a clarification follow-up on that type of example. Okay, a few more questions. Okay, is a doctor's note slash letter acceptable instead of the ADA reasonable accommodation if the employee's physician is extending the leave? Or is it better to have the EE's physician to keep completing the ADA reasonable accommodation due to the nature of leave? Great question. So if it's a continuous leave and they don't seem to be getting better, that is okay. That kind of holds the definition of just an extension. So they do not have to fill out the ADA reasonable accommodation. I would say that once a leave kind of gets to a certain point, like let's say they've exhausted their FMLA and their CFRA, and the doctor is going to continue their leave, that is a good opportunity to have them complete the ADA reasonable accommodation form. Why? It's just to kind of see exactly where they're at in their recovery. So if we have the opportunity to explore any reasonable accommodations, that is one opportunity. So if it's a complete, this employee needs to be off from this day to this day, that's fine. But if they start writing some restrictions, like unable to lift 10 to 15 pounds, unable to walk, whatever their restrictions are, it's a good way of starting that conversation, because maybe at the end of 2 weeks, they'll have a revised restriction. And maybe that'll kind of open up the conversation a little more for the potential to having that employee return to work with some type of accommodations. So it all depends, Magali, especially if the case is just being extended, that's fine. But if there's an opportunity to have maybe a conversation about returning that employee or the interactive process meeting, the accommodation one would be the best form to get that. So good question.
Jess, I'd like to add to that. Mm-hmm. If there are treatment plans that are indicated on the certification or the doctor's note, and that's not being addressed in any subsequent note, that should be taken into consideration. So if they're on a treatment plan for medication and that's to be evaluated in 90 days, and then we get an extension, but that's not addressed in the subsequent note, I think that needs to be some follow-up involved with that. Also, there needs to be some common sense applied when looking at the notes, because if you have a doctor that's treating somebody who's a chiropractor treating doctor or the patient for something that's unrelated to chiropractic services, I mean, you need to be questioning that, why that doctor is treating that patient. So, you know, there's a lot of common sense that needs to be applied, and you know, we need to address those types of issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Great insight, Ken. A lot of times, like, for example, I've seen, so this is like a real life example, a chiropractor taking an employee off due to pregnancy. And that's the note. What it like, is it pregnancy related? Is it because of the fact that they're recovering? That's a good way to kind of follow up, like with the specialty of the physician, that we're kind of seeing a disconnect between what that person's specialty is and what they're writing the employee out for. So yes, absolutely. And again, reviewing those medical certs on a case by case is going to be important. Okay, so that kind of concludes the kind of criteria that we need for medical certifications. We have, depending on the circumstance, we have some follow-ups on potentials, I guess, ways that we can follow up if in case information is missing or incomplete or insufficient. I mean, it's not completed. Incomplete is maybe a signature. And we have ways to follow up. We can authenticate the actual form, or we could request some clarification. Each one, it is important to follow up with the employee to make sure that they understand what the deficiencies are. For example, if it is missing an end date or an estimated return to work date, we want to make sure that we are notifying the employee, like, this is the reason why this medical cert does not work, because of the fact that we do not have an estimated end date. Or if it's missing any other piece of information, we want to make sure. So if we are sending that email, that we are absolutely poignant in exactly what we're looking for, or what was the reason that this certification was either incomplete or insufficient, and then following up. So that is important as we follow up with the employee. So now we have some real life examples that we would like to go through.
Great. So before we do that, I'm just going to sort of give us one more recap on the pieces, just to make sure we're starting our game all on the same page. So, you know, I think to Jess's point, A, this is what you all do is not easy, and that is true. It's every case is different, the facts are different, and we need to be looking at it case by case. Just want to say again, though, that, you know, the important hope that I have for today as a takeaway is that we do have county leave forms that have all the information to hopefully make it easier or more convenient for the employee and their doctor to give us what we need to have a complete set of information. That being said, the employee and their doctor can provide it in a different form or format. And as long as it meets all the criteria of the information we need, that is good enough to proceed. So, you know, we're not saying if you don't fill out our form, you know, we're not going to grant this or that. We just need the information. Again, most likely our forms make it most convenient, but it does not mean that it's the only way a person could provide that information. And I think the other point that Jess made, which I want to just make sure we're really crystal clear on, is in cases where things are incomplete, meaning we're not quite sure, you know, is it work related? Is it FMLA qualified? Those pieces we need to seek clarity. But in the meantime, we probably have enough information to at least be able to approve the leave and get it started under another basis, and then figure out the pieces that are missing. So it's really multi-layered and multifaceted, and that's what we want to be kind of looking at as we go through this. So I just want to make sure that that's really clear to everyone. Okay, so to that point, and I also just want to give out really quick before we move on, a huge shout out. Jess is like a PowerPoint master, and he puts this stuff together for us each and every time, and it always looks amazing. So thank you for all your efforts there. Trust me, if it weren't him, it would look different. So it's a really great resource tool, and we will certainly make sure again that is posted. So anybody that needs or wants to reference it, you will have it available to you. So the game we're going to play is a game called Complete, Incomplete, or Insufficient. If you believe this certification is complete, incomplete, or insufficient, just throw it into the chat what you think it is. And if you think that it is incomplete, tell us if you think it needs authentication or clarification or both. And no, I'm Phil, just, you know, Steve Harvey, I'm working on him for next time. I'm sure he'd make it way more fun. So just run us through the first one, and everybody think about it: complete, incomplete, or insufficient, and then start throwing it in the chat.
Okay, so the employee submitted this. It has the employee's name, Jane Doe. It has a designation here, disability leave because of a patient's pregnancy. We have a beginning date, 9/10/21 through 11/17/21. And then we go back, and this is where the health care provider completed the information. I see that we have, it is written here. And again, if you can't read these things, that's a good way to kind of go to your colleague, like, hey, what does this mean? Because this L looks like an H, this V looks like a U. So sometimes, you know, handwriting could be a little bit complicated, but this is the form as we see it. So
again, so what I'll do people think this one is? Complete? So, okay, we got a couple completes. Somebody said there's no signature date. And that is true. There is not a signature date.
Although it looks like she might have signed where she may have printed or did print.
So, and
yeah, just to let everyone know, this is a real life medical cert. So I randomly chose cases. So this is someone received it.
So yeah, so I think it's a good, what's good about this as we sort of start to see it is that there are people who are saying complete. There's people who are saying there's no signature date. And I think that, you know, there's argument here for a variety of different things, but it is true that it's not dated. And so that is something that we could certainly, you know, ask for clarification, right? And make sure that we have a properly dated certification. I will say, if you scroll down to the box where the physician signed, the physician even provided their phone number that it, for my read, it says it's their cell number. This feels like a doctor that you could certainly seek that clarification pretty easily. We received this form. It doesn't have a date. Can you tell us when did you complete this form? To Jess's point, you put that note in Presagia, you're good to go. We're not making people, you know, yes, that's an extra step we're taking, but on the same token, now it's closed out the issue, you've resolved it, and now this leave is in place, you know, for the next several months and you're good to go. So the important part is that where you're identifying issues or concerns, that we are making sure we have the documentation, we have the follow-up. In the meantime, though, I would certainly suggest that if we call the cell phone number and get a voicemail message that Dr. Cole is on vacation for the next 2 weeks, I think what we have is sufficient enough to open the leave and get it started, right? So that's where we're using sort of that multifaceted form of just reasonable evaluation of things. Okay. So let's do the next one.
Okay,
and Sarah said she would accept it and use this the signature day of the fax received date. And I think, again, there's a variety of ways that you can be reasonable and rational in approaching this. What's the key to all of it is that somewhere there needs to be documentation within your leave, within your Presagia case that says, I received this, I noted it wasn't dated. However, it was faxed directly from their office on X date. And we're gonna accept that as the date and then, you know, make the point to the employee, can you please be sure when you go back for the next appointment that your doctor also dates the form. Mm-hmm. So again, there's ways to be reasonable and still comply with best practice, the real key is the documentation. Okay, so let's do the next one.
Okay, we have a submitted form. We have parts B submitted to us. Approximate date the impairment commenced 01/14 of 2022. Probable duration is going to be 12 weeks. It's going to be for a scheduled surgery on February 1st. Okay, so the doctor completed some major life activities that will be affected. What does the employee need leave to continue healing due to surgery? C-section. Probable duration is going to be 12 weeks. Again, the duration of the leave, 114 of 2022 through March 29, 2022. No essential functions of the job can be performed. We have a stamp of information. We have a signature. We are missing the date again. Printed, the specialty, the address, the phone number, and that is it.
Okay, so get back in your chat, everybody. Is it complete? And Jess has already told you it doesn't have a date. So assuming that we get past the date thing, is it complete? Is it incomplete? Or is it insufficient? And if you think it's insufficient, what does it need? What does it need? So insufficient. So, and again, just to be clear, so our insufficient means we're going to reject it completely. Incomplete means we're going to accept it, but we have some questions, some pieces we need to follow up on. Other.
Okay.
Right. So good. So some people are kind of raising that they're surprised that they're putting restrictions prior to the surgery date. So I think the thing in this case that we would say is that we believe this one is incomplete, meaning that there's enough information here to start a leave, but there are some questions. Did anyone know that this person, that this was pregnancy related till you got down to what type of surgery it was? That was kind of the surprise piece at the end. Is, hey, it's for a C-section. Whoa, wait a minute. Is this a pregnancy leave? That's a question. And then it raises the question of if the C-section is scheduled for February 1st, but the person is off January 14th. What exactly is sort of that intervening period of time reflective of? Those are all questions. Again, that's not to say that we are not in a position to say there's enough here to at least start to, you know, open the leave and begin to do some processing. But we have a lot of things that we still need to clarify. And in this case, I believe, you know, we need to have clarification. We need to start with the employee and have the clarification. Maybe you're already well aware that this is a pregnancy leave, right? But we need to, again, if you weren't and you don't really know this person and this is the first you're hearing of it, and now it also includes the C-section part, we need to figure out, is this, you know, we didn't realize this was going to be a pregnancy leave. And what's happening with the weeks leading up to the C-section? How are all of those things, you know, being defined by the employee? And then in all likelihood, we may need some additional information. You know, it's possible, depending on the answers to those questions, from the doctor from January 14th to February 1st, what exactly are we talking about? So I think that there's a lot of potential answers to all of these questions, but it's a good example of where we need to be reading all of the pieces of the forms and then making sure we're evaluating those things and getting back to the individuals, to whether it's the doctor or the employee. So why don't we go ahead and do another one, Jeff?
Okay, Jane was seen in the clinic today. She will start her pregnancy disability on Saturday, April 10th, 2022. She may continue to work without restrictions until that time. I anticipate her return to work is June 15th, 2022. Please let her know that if you have any questions or concerns. Electronically signed by Dr. Elizabeth Carlisle. And we also have some other information regarding that office visit.
So what does everyone think? So again, an interesting point to consider on this one is, this is not our form. But looking at it, is it complete? Is it incomplete, meaning it needs clarification or authentication? Or is it insufficient? Yeah, so people are saying complete. And I think, you know, what's interesting about this one is that this one actually has clearer information than what we got on the previous one, which was on our prescribed form. So I just want to make the point that we're not looking at form over substance, meaning it doesn't matter exactly how it comes into us in terms of the format. It's the information that is contained within it that's the thing that matters. And I think this was a good back-to-back to give you, hey, we had one that seems to also be sort of a similar scenario that came in on our form where we had multiple people who questioned a variety of things. And then we had another one that just came in, you know, on a letter from a doctor that's electronically signed. And that one seems to give us much more of what it is exactly that we need. So I think those are just, it's just sort of a good reminder that it's to us to figure out, do we have the pieces that we need? And did it come in a way that we can accept it and move forward? So I think we have one more. Why don't we do that one, Jess, and see what we get next?
Okay, so we have the employees that has been redacted. We have the patient's name is the same, so it's like quotes. Relationship itself. We have date, medical condition, treatment commenced was June 29th of 2021. Probable duration needed treatment is June 29th, 2021. We have some serious medical, yep, it qualifies. That's what the doctor is saying. The certification is for serious. Is the employee able to perform any work of any kind? No. So we're going to go down. We see that the rest is blank, but we go down to the doctor's part and we see this. So we have, we are missing some information. We do have that they're a family practice. We do have the license number, signature, and date this time.
Okay. So Gia is, so can we go back up? Gia is already, she's already bringing it. Yes. So she noted that on the duration of medical treatment that it says June 29th, but there's no end date. So good catch, Gia. So right there, you know, that is an issue that needs to be addressed. Would I say to you that too, I think as you're looking at these things and you're considering where you need clarification and authentication, we've all noted that at the bottom, the doctor didn't put the complete address and all of that information at the very bottom. Those are things we're gonna want, but they do provide their license number. It is signed, right? So that issue is gonna be a much simpler issue to clarify, right? Or to perhaps make sure we have certainty. Maybe we may even have a secondary note from the same doctor that's on their letterhead that we already have this information somewhere else. So we have what we need. I think we have varying degrees of things that need clarity. In this case, when we don't understand what your end date of your leave is, there is no end date. That's a really big issue, right? So sure, we can put you on leave, but we have an issue that is requires clarification. That's a big item and has a certain degree of urgency associated with it, right? So I think that's the other piece that you're evaluating. You know, that's where then again, we're communicating with the employee and we're making sure we're reaching out to the doctor and we're getting what we need from the physician in order to really correctly facilitate the leave. So I think that hopefully this gives you just some good tools to utilize as we're kind of going forward. You know, I sort of look at it as for you all, your job to some extent, you're kind of like detectives in all of this. You're given information, you have all the different clues, and you're trying to figure out what is it exactly that's being asked. And then within what's being asked, what benefits and entitlements are available. But again, the most important part of this is just the reminder that from a best practice perspective, it does not matter what form it's on, as long as it is complete. And that anything that we're doing where it's incomplete or even insufficient, where we're rejecting it completely, but anywhere where we are either saying, sorry, this just doesn't get you to a leave, or it does, but we still have questions, that necessitates written notice as to what it is that's missing, what we need from the employee, and then we do need to follow up. So that communication needs to be documented and clear, and efforts that you're making, you want to make sure that stuff ends up in your leave case. The important part about that is, you know, you may know your leave cases and you feel like there's just no way you're not going to remember, but you don't know when you may move on and you're not there anymore. And suddenly there's a question, or, you know, I can tell you on the risk management side of it, occasionally there's litigation that involves these cases. It's incredibly important that we have a complete record of all the good work that you are doing on these cases. So, hopefully that helps on the medical certification piece. To Jess's point, I think this is, you know, again, just a good reminder that when in doubt, you know, roundtable it with your colleagues, ask people what they think. Can, you know, three people read this form and everybody agrees that a letter is a K or a number is a two? Okay, then there we go. If not, you know, then we need to seek a little bit of clarification. And if after you've kind of had those discussions, you still want somebody to take a closer look, or it says something very different or highly unusual, you know, call over, ask us to look at it. We're happy to do that. That's what we're here to support you through. Because sometimes you do get very strangely written or odd, you know, versions of things. And if you have concerns, then we want to talk through that and figure out where we go next. And for those who are not as comfortable with seeking the clarification from the doctors, we are allowed to seek clarification directly from the physician relating to the note or even on follow-up issues. Certainly that's something though that I recommend you discuss with the employee. Do we want to, you know, give the employee for their next appointment a note that with the questions we want answered? But what I will tell you is a general rule, the more specific we can be, you know, if we say, you know, dear doctor, on the form that we received from you on question number four, you know, you said it only says June 29th. Can you please provide us what is the anticipated end date? You get much better information back. The clearer we can be about where there's insufficiencies with or where it's incomplete, that helps us to get better data back from the physician. So just food for thought as we move forward. So I know that we are over our time for today, but we will be posting all of the PowerPoint presentation along with the recording to the DAM website. If anybody has other questions though, outside of today's presentation, we're certainly happy to talk that through with you. Otherwise though, we will set you free for today, and hopefully this has been helpful. And we look forward to hopefully seeing you in the summer for some summer DAM fun.